I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Are you an insider or an outsider? Now, I have to admit, I was torn between that and the much less obvious question, how do you taste? How do you taste? More on that in a minute, because Paul writes, we urge you, brothers and sisters, that's the insiders, okay, to love each other more and more. Be growing in that. And besides that, the loving each other more and more, to make it your collective and individual ambition to lead a quiet life, i.e., you should mind your own beeswax. You might be surprised beeswax is in the Bible. It's translated business in the New King James. You should mind your own business so that your daily life, your daily regular people life, okay, may win the respect of outsiders. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Why am I fighting with outsiders? Is it not those inside the church? Us. Is it not us whom we are to judge? Ourselves, right? God judges those outside. He's got that under control. You go, no, he don't. Believe it or not, he does. Okay, I got a story. When I was 18, y'all seem to like the stories when I'm naughty. And I don't know exactly why that is, but here's a good one for you. When I was 18, I went to California with two friends and a naughty plan. And we took the Universal Studios tour. And when nobody was looking, we ducked behind the amphitheater, changed into coveralls, held a couple hammers to look like workers, and then we gave ourselves the best backlot tour ever. We explored the Munsters Mansion, Beaver Cleaver's house. If you're under 40, don't worry about the references. We explored warehouses filled with props and equipment. But after a few hours, we noticed a lot of patrol cars cruising around and teams of security guards searching the buildings very methodically and cop cars blocking all the exits. And we were trapped and there was no escape. We couldn't make a move. We just kept getting in a smaller and smaller space, so we couldn't make a move without being seen. So we walked up to a squad car and asked for directions. How do you get out of here? So I think what we said. This is the cop who hauled us in, right here. And this is the chief of police who questioned us. And this is where I learned that Universal City had an actual full-on police department, a real police force. You see, this story, if you were here for the MASH story where, you know, I prayed and God answered and opened the door, well, that, you know, that was good, Bruce. This is a year earlier. This is bad, Bruce. This is, I'm going to do it. I'm going to break in. I'm going to do it to him by force. So pretty much the opposite of the MASH story. They mainly wanted to know if we'd vandalized any of their property, which we had not, though the hammers required some explanation. They were props. These are costumes. But once they concluded, and I was 18. My two friends were 17, so I was facing some serious charges there, and they let me know. But once they concluded that we were simply idiots, they released us, which is when I asked the officers if I could take their picture, further confirming their prior conclusion. But they let me. I got their pictures. It's a tourist in the police station. We asked them what tipped them off. And they said that they had started receiving several calls about three guys who were trying too hard to look like workers. That's very interesting. That's what gave us away. We tried too hard to look like workers. Turns out the real workers just look like regular people. Right? Kind of like with Christianity. And don't look now, but you are surrounded. Can't escape them. A lot of people patrolling your home, your workplace, wherever you hang out, really, trying to figure out if you're legit, authentic, and sincere. Or if you're just an undercover outsider trying, you know, too hard to look the part. You know, there was a very legitimate way that we could have achieved everything we wanted with full approval and no trouble. Apply for a job, right? Become an actual functioning member of the crew. In fact, later that year, I moved to LA. I advertised for a roommate. I got a roommate. He turned out to be a Universal tour guide. That's just a funny coincidence. But you see, we weren't interested in making a legitimate team effort. Please be applying this analogy to ourselves. We were not interested in making a legitimate team effort. We just wanted an outsider's artificial, superficial shortcut, which is sadly similar to something we can all do with our faith, and especially our individual place in the body of Christ. But not you, and not here. Because I don't care what anyone's doing anywhere else, we're focused on, aren't we supposed to judge us? Yes, and as the Apostle Paul put it, we are not, as so many, peddling the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God, in Christ. Clearly now, clearly you are an epistle. That just means a letter of Christ. Written not, of course, with ink, but written by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh. That is, of the heart. And you can't fake that. Because onlookers guard their hearts and patrol for pretenders is universal. You try to tell them, the people around you, that you found the way, the truth, and the life, and their response is usually, yeah, you and everyone else. Because talk is cheap, and there's a lot of bad eggs. And I so wanted to spell cheap, C-H-E-E-P, but I couldn't make myself. Talk is cheap and there's a lot of bad eggs. That is another universal truth in this world. So as a sincere insider, which I will assume you are, and you can know I am, you need to be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. You go, okay, to accomplish what exactly? Well, mostly to intentionally provide an opportunity to allow them to taste and see for themselves that the Lord is good. So, how do you taste? How do you taste? Hopefully, like an honest-to-goodness insider. A good egg. Hopefully you're a good egg, right? Because you are the letter that the Lord is writing to those around you, that he's reaching out to. You're it. Tag. It's on you. You're it. If you're a good egg, right? Jesus said, now, would you give your son a scorpion when he asks for an egg? Bad as you are, you know how to give good things. You give the good egg. How much more then will the Father when he gives you? But is there any taste in the white of an egg? Not much. Well, can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Not enjoyably. Well, you are the salt of the earth, of the world. So have salt in yourselves, inside yourselves. And be at peace and have peace with one another. For salt is good. It's what makes a good egg. But if salt has lost its taste, well, then it is fit. He's talking about us. Then it is fit neither for the soil, which in the parable of the sower symbolizes our heart wherein God's word is planted, nor for the manure pile. I like when the Bible says manure pile. Nor for the manure pile. They, those on the receiving end of what you're dishing out, just throw it away. It's not even good for the manure pile. That's because here's what it's saying. Onlookers can spot the difference between well-seasoned words of life and a pile of BS. You can't fake it. No one's going to BS their way into the kingdom because it's not even good for the pile of manure. It's thrown out. So be wise. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. How simple. Let your conversation be always full of grace, i.e., seasoned with salt. That's what that means. Full of grace when you speak, always to outsiders, always full of grace. That's the good egg with the salt. Always full of grace, seasoned with salt. So that you may know how, not necessarily what, but how to answer everyone with grace, graciously. And listen, you may not know what to say, but you sure know how to say whatever it is that comes to mind, how to answer everyone. For here's why. You see, the ear tests words as the tongue tastes food. So it's not as important what you're saying as how you're saying it. So put away all malice, all deceit, and come on, hypocrisy. Put away the hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Grow up into salvation. I love this line. Say it with me. Grow up into salvation. You saved? Well, grow up in that salvation. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God. See, when we come together on Sunday mornings, it's more than just a time of celebration and worship and teaching, which it obviously is, but it's more than that. Is deeper than that, because if we're doing it right, if we're a bunch of good eggs, if we're growing up, we are creating right here a loving, caring family feeling. Stretching out his hands toward the disciples, his disciples, Jesus said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven," which is what? To act like his son who's on the earth. "Well, whoever does the will of my Father, he is my brother and sister and mother." And when folks visit here, it should feel like home due to the collective effect of what each of us bring to the table. So if you're visiting, welcome home. I just love it. So proud the right way of you guys in this church when someone cases the place and then, you know, comments and says, "Okay, I've been here a couple of times and wow, the warmth here, the warmth and the love and the humor and humility." Those are usually the four words that I hear. The warmth, the love, the humor, the humility, because we're not peddling God's word. We're living it. Trying, not perfectly, but we're living it. We're not faking it. And it's not a fluke that humor and humility come from the same root word. Learn to laugh, especially at yourself, and you'll find others coming to you to be refreshed. I mean, that is just a magic formula. I have found in my decades here that the more seriously we actually take the Lord, the less seriously we'll actually take ourselves. After all, as they say, we're all here because we ain't all there. And boy, is there a lot of truth to that, huh? But we admit that. The more formal the setting, the more anxious the onlookers, right? The less likely to let down their guard, which is why you and I, right here, are called to be the antidote to religious formality. We're called to be real, genuine, authentic, transparent. That's his place. That's your place. Because, big reason, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Stand fast, Paul says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage, pun intended. For you have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty now as an opportunity for the flesh. Okay? But through love and liberty, serve one another more and more. For this is the will of God. This is the will of God, that by doing good, not by judging the outsiders and trying to argue them into the ground. No, by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice. Because as Jesus declared in his hometown church about himself, he said, hey, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news, in order to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And that liberty disarms the universal defenses of those with closed hearts. It's just called being real. Being real. Because it's so refreshing. You don't have to play a role here. You can just be you, growing in the Lord, wherever you're at. That's okay. And so, your home, your car, your cubicle, your job site, your wherever, but especially your church, should be an oasis in this parched old world. Because our Creator, Lord, and Savior said, if anyone thirsts, let them come. Don't put up barriers. Let them come to me and drink. Because he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, her heart, will flow rivers of living water. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a healed tongue is a tree of life. Which is why a cheerful heart is good medicine. Most of you know that Noah and I are not into being called pastor, right? I'll be your server today. Love that line. Not into being called pastor. So new folks are often a little confused how they should address me. And so they'll ask me, you know, how should we address you? And my opening line is, my friends call me Bruce. And then they say, okay, Bruce. You know, for some people that's really weird if they've been, you know, raised more religiously formal. And they say, okay, Bruce. And then I say, but I actually prefer pastor. And then they say, oh, well, oh, yeah, then pastor. And then I say, you don't want to be my friend? And then they leave the church, so I should stop doing that. But it is just so funny, and if you've ever heard me do it, I can't stop. Especially the I prefer pastor. It's just, oh, I can do it with such a straight face. Okay. Where are we at? Oh, yeah, they leave the church, so I should stop doing that. Here's the thing. Noah and I, we don't have a problem with the title of our vocation. That's what we do. What we have a problem with is believers avoiding their responsibilities by projecting them onto us with this magic title. Like, oh, that guy. See, we're all off the hook. Because, see, there's a guy that's like, what, 24 inches off the floor on a plywood platform with a rug. So he's like a magic human. As absurd as that sounds, it's what people do. And so we say, no, we're serving you. We're serving you. You're the leaders. You're the love letters. You're the speakers. Jesus warned, and boy, I don't know why this isn't taught more, because Jesus said, don't ever let anyone call you rabbi. In our culture, that would be pastor, right? Teacher. Now, he doesn't mean the word is bad. He's talking about don't let people put you on a pedestal. Don't let people exalt you. For you have only one teacher. It's him. And all of you, us, all of you are on the same level. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. Reminds me of a story of this pastor who was very humble. And he was in his church in the sanctuary on his knees. And he was praying, Lord, I am nothing. I'm nothing. And a deacon walking through, saw him and joined him. And so he knelt down. He started praying, oh, Lord, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. And then the janitor looks in and he's humbled by the sight. And so the janitor joins him and he cries out, oh, Lord, I'm nothing. And the deacon leans over to the pastor and whispers, look who thinks he's nothing. Oh, Ken Wins, I said, they're not going to think this is funny, but I think it's hilarious. Because it's a real tricky thing, humility in the church. We can very subtly fall into the trap of being very proud of our humility. Look who thinks he's nothing. It really, I'm going to tell it again, and this time you're just going to laugh just to make me feel good. He says, I'm nothing. The guy, you can join. I'm nothing. The janitor, he says, I'm nothing. Then, okay, here we go. We'll just edit this. No, you edit this so that this is the actual ending, okay? Ready? And the deacon leans over to the pastor and whispers, look who thinks he's nothing. I knew you would love that. The only time Jesus describes himself in the Gospels, there's one time Jesus described, don't you kind of want to know what he says?
Yeah.
Well, you get to. The only time Jesus describes himself, he says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. It's his self-description. So I'll see your pastor and raise you a priest because, as Revelation 1:6 says, Jesus has made us all kings and priests to his God and Father. You call me pastor, I call you priest. So if this is your place of worship, then this is your house. And you are the host, whether you want to admit it or not. Because you're the insider. You might be a bad host, you know, just ignoring all the people coming into your house, but you are still the host. Only question is, you're a good host or a bad host? And onlookers and outsiders that come in here will only fully see Jesus to the degree that he can speak and act through you. And that goes for wherever you live out your faith. You're it, if you're a good egg. I can only do so much up here yapping for 25 minutes once a week. The real test is how we all treat them when I'm not teaching and we're not singing. And don't look now, but some of them are in here right now, watching. And they know, they're right now they're going, watching, trying to get a read on the room. And they're mostly looking at you to see if the claims of Christ are true, or if I'm just a salesman. And Jesus promises to speak to their heart, if you'll open your mouth, and to encourage and comfort them, if you'll approach them, and to clean them up and care for them, if you'll serve them in some small way. You know, Jesus began to wash his disciples' feet. Didn't seem like much of a deal. Drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And then he said, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. See, I have set you an example. It's not like he even asks for all that much. So if you are part of his body, you gotta take ownership. You just gotta take ownership in what he's doing here, right here. And then everywhere that you live out your faith. Because we are called to be a living sacrifice, which often requires literally sacrificing comfort and shyness and fear of rejection in order to wrap that towel around our waist and stop wasting our opportunities, because that is how we all grow up in our salvation. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you for being our oasis in this parched world. Holy Spirit, help us seize the opportunities to be wise in the way we act toward outsiders. And Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for the liberty by which you have set us free.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.